1-15. Now, I'm not asking anybody to raise their hand, but I've never been to one, thank the Lord, but Alcoholics Anonymous, they ask you to stand up, give your name, and then they respond, and then you're supposed to give what your story is. So I'm going to say my name, you say hi to me back, and then we'll go from there. So, hi, my name is Neil.
Hi, Neil.
I'm a sinaholic. I'm not going to AAA, but I'm a sinaholic, and if I don't get into this, it's going to take over the world. Daniel, Kyle, could you please open us in prayer?
Dear God, Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day we gather together in your house, Lord. Praise you for your feet with Brother Neil as he brings forth your word, Lord, that you would just use it to speak to us mightily, that you would use it to draw us closer to you, Lord. Pray you be the rest of the day.
Amen. We're going to read 1 to 15. This is kind of everybody's heard this story, but we're going to read it anyways. Verse 1 of chapter 2. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Verse 3, and the sons of the prophets were at Bethel, came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yes, I know it. Hold ye your peace. I want you to look at, we're going to see in verse 5 as well, that same repeated thing, but I want you to notice it. Verse 4, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Basically exactly the same wording, right? This is a holy story. We're going to come back to those two verses eventually. But verse 6, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Now verse 3 and 5. You had people trying to ruin what was going on. You had people putting their nose in where it didn't belong. They thought that they had a better plan. They thought that they were going to disrupt things. And in verse 3 and 5, both verses, he has to tell them to hold their peace. He knows what he's doing. He knows what's about to happen. But these people want to put their nose in it. These people want to spread some doubt. They want to get some controversy started up. Does that happen in our church today? People kind of put their nose in where it doesn't belong. Instead of trusting or praying about a situation, they think that if they tap on their keyboard or they call enough people that they'll rectify the situation or the problem. Now I want to talk about the double portion, and it doesn't specifically say it here, but if you look back at birthrights that children have, when we think of Esau and Jacob, it was very important to get a double portion. This could be possibly why he asked for a double portion. He was looking for that, not a birthright, but he knew what position he was going to take. He knew he needed a double portion of what Elijah had. Only God knows, only God could grant it to him. He asked, but only God could give that to him. Verse 15 is us, mostly today in our churches. The prophets had to see it happen to trust that Elisha was the one to go forward. They had to see it, just like we have to see it. We have to have everything planned out. We have to have it scripted down. We have to have it, oh, no, that's not right. That's not how it happened, versus letting the Holy Ghost work in a situation or letting God show how we should do something. We don't believe it till we see it. Somebody can have a plan. Somebody can tell us their plan. We're not going to believe it till we see it. We're almost like the Jewish people that had to see a sign. We're almost to that point anymore where we have to see a sign or we can't believe it was God. These people had to see it. Okay, verse 15. This is a perfect example of handing down leadership. He had, if you want to call it an understudy or somebody that believed exactly the same thing he did. He walked in this with the same God that Elijah did. He wanted more of what Elijah had, asked for a double portion. It's almost a perfect example of something being handed down. We're going to go to 1 Samuel now. We're going to look at one that didn't get handed down so good. 1 Samuel 18. We're going to go to verses 5 through 9. And I'm sure everybody knows this story. This is where David has killed Goliath shortly after it. Saul has him in his house. He plays the musical instruments for him. We're going to see a little bit more of what he gives him, a little more power in his kingdom. Verse 5, and David went on whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. Remember that phrase. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, David has 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, to me only ascribed but 1,000. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Obviously, we know that pride was a huge thing there. But this could have been, obviously, David gets anointed to take over Saul. It's kind of a secret or whatever. But Saul hunts David for a long time, trying to kill him because he could be the next heir, the next one to take over, the next one to be the king. And he didn't like that. So was that a good situation on how to replace a leader for another leader? That's kind of a bad one. Now, verse 7, women's... I don't want to say this, but I'm going to. And the women answered one another as they played. Women sometimes have to put their nose in it. Sometimes they do things that shouldn't be done, but so do guys. They're called usually effeminate, but there's guys that stick their nose in as well. But in this story, we're talking about women. Now, David liked what the women had to say. He was all fine and dandy with it. Could have David stop the anger between him and Saul? Yes, he could have. When he heard these women sing that for the first time, 1,000, 10,000, instead of him going, that's right, I killed 10,000. Instead of saying, whoa, 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 your king is Saul. I'm working for him. See how that would have calmed that all?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
There's going to come a time in your life where you might have to take over for somebody else. And if you want all the pride and glory out of it, it's probably not going to go well. If you're willing to give that person that's you're replacing that respect, that honor, that glory, it's probably going to go a lot better for you. I talked about in the one verse in verse 5, and he behaved himself wisely. If you drop all the way down to verse 14, and David behaved himself wisely in all ways. Verse 15, he behaved himself very wisely. Okay? We know that David was a very wise man. Did he make mistakes? Yes. Can I pick apart his life here? Yes, I can, because I have a long time to look at it and figure it out. It's very easy to point fingers. But I noticed that David could have probably quelched that all at one time. He could have made it a lot easier. He could have made it wasn't such a big deal.
Yeah.
Do we have that situation happening possibly at Black Creek Baptist Church? Pastor John is going to retire. I've heard good, I've heard bad. I've heard, and I checked right before the service to make sure, because I knew it was in our meeting in there, but I had to make sure the pastor had said who he was planning on replacing, who he had in mind, and it's Tim McVeigh. Before everybody gets upset, whether you like him or you don't like him, try not to ruin it, just like they did in 2 Kings verses 3 and 5. Probably should keep your nose out of it. There are going to be questions to be answered. We know this. We already have discussed that we have to have a meeting where everybody has a say in what's going to happen, what's going to go on. We have to figure out money. We have to figure out housing. We have to figure out a lot of stuff. My warning is, keep your nose out of it for now. So you say, well, that's not fair. I'm a member of this church. I give to this church. Yes, you do. So what can you do in the meantime instead of losing sleep over it? Bathe it in prayer.
Amen.
Not, Lord, I don't like Tim McVeigh, so change the outcome of this. Lord, I love Tim McVeigh. Please bring him in as our pastor. It's, Lord, give the pastor wisdom to put the right person in the right position that needs to happen. We need to pray about every aspect of it. We need to pray. You need to pray for your leadership of this church. Two of your trustees are barely over 45, but they're getting older. And we're going to have to replace them at some day. Two of your deacons are in the 50-plus club, and I know Stephen doesn't look that old, but Brother Dale constantly for the last 5 years is saying, who's going to replace these people? Were we listening? Were we doing anything about it? Young men, you're going to have to decide to take up positions. You're going to have to get yourself where you need to be to fill a position in this church. I mean, as far as death can happen to somebody that's in a leadership position, that position is going to have to be filled. If you're not working to be that person that can fill that position, what are you doing? There's a lot of things that are going to happen with this retirement. A lot of questions that are going to have to be answered. But if we're to act wisely, as it said in chapter 18 there, we're going to seek God's face on what his opinion is for us. If we do it on our own, it will fall apart. If we are bathing it in prayer, more than likely it's going to be perfect. Again, pray for your leadership. Pray for the future of BCBC. What's God's plan for our church? New leadership. Behave wisely. Bathe our leaders in prayer.
Amen.
We love what's going on here at BC. I pretty much would say, anybody here would say they love coming to church. They love hearing the Word of God. They're very happy with what happens here. But if we don't have God's mind, all this is going to go away. If you like what's going on here, I beg you to pray for this church. Make wise decisions. Have God's mind in it. Now, this part's going to be tough. There was a girl born, a baby girl born December 21st, 1941. She passed away 8/3/2023. If you guys don't know, that's Mrs. Hain. This is primarily to the ladies. Who's ready to pick up her mantle? Who is ready to pray for people, set time aside at their house to pray for people, to pray for pastors, to pray for this church? We lost a prayer warrior, but her life, like Roots, reached out to everybody. So you ladies have a responsibility, if she affected your life, to do what she did. Try to be a Mrs. Hain and pray for your pastors, pray for your church, pray for your leadership. Prayer is not just, I got a bump on my finger that I might have to have cut off tomorrow. It's praying for every aspect of your life, every aspect of your family, every aspect. Again, if you like this church and you like what's going on here, a 2-minute prayer a day for this church ain't gonna work.
That's right.
Again, Mrs. Hain labored over this church in prayer. So ladies, who's willing to do that? Not asking for hands, but who's willing to give up their time to pray for this church to see it go forward? That their kids, their grandkids, their great-grandkids could be raised in this church. She had a genuine love for others and for her church. And again, we don't need just one taking over. We need several to say they're ready to be a Mrs. Hain for this church, for their family, for this church. If we don't get that, we're in trouble. Men, does that leave you off of the list? No. It's not as easy, I would say, for men to pray as much as it is for women. Okay? But you can begin. You can start. You can set aside a time where you're in prayer with your God about anything and everything, obviously. But in that should be praying for this church. And that can be every church we associate with. In Mrs. Hain's funeral, we heard how she prayed for the preachers of all the churches her kids went to and her grandkids went to every Sunday morning, that they would have the words that needed to be preached. If you have a kid that's out of the house, be praying for that pastor wherever they're going. If they're not going, pray for them to get to that church where they need to be. Passing on one's mantle should not be a light thing. Elisha, it was a pretty easy thing. He picked his mantle up and he went and he struck hit the water again and split it, just like Elijah did. And a lot of people say, well, he was just maybe showing off his power or showing off this or that. Maybe he was getting a confirmation from God that he was the next anointed. Maybe he was saying, in that act, am I the one to take Elijah's shoes? Uh, Again, passing on one's mantle should not be a light thing, nor should the mantle be ignored. Who's going to fill their shoes? There is an old country song that used to talk about who's going to fill their shoes. That's the question I'm asking here. For you young men and girls and teens, your desire should be the things of this church, and they should be the desire to help others in some way. You're never too early to start praying for your church. You're never too old to start praying for your church. But again, if you like what's going on here, you need to take the time to pray for this church and the leadership of this church and anybody that's involved in this church and comes to this church. I'm not a prayer guru by any means, but I have a lot of spare time between midnight and 6 o'clock in the morning where I'm just staring straight down the road, and that's when I do my praying. And the easiest thing to do is to start in the first row, because we're creatures of habit. We pretty much are all in the same place.
Yeah.
And to go down through those pews and just pray for those people.
Good.
Is that something that you might be able to do? Is there a time that you can find in your day to just pray for the people of this church? It's not that hard of a thing.
No.
It might be to get started because it's out of your comfort zone, or you're trying to fit it in where you're going to put it in your schedule. Find that spot to fit it in.
Mm-hmm.
Start bathing in prayer what's coming up when Pastor hands down his mantle. I'm not guaranteeing. Pastor Asker told you this is what he would like to see. Again, God is going to show us if that's what the vision is for this church.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So my follow-up points would be: stop ruining what's happening. Stop putting your nose in if you don't agree.
Mm-hmm.
Bathe it in prayer. Ask God if there's a spot where you disagree with Pastor on this whole thing. Talk to Pastor.
Yes. Yes.
I'll answer as much questions as I can if you come and ask me questions, but I'm going to refer you to Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one. God's got a plan that he's showing him. Then go talk to Pastor. Give him your grievances. Give him here what you're in favors of. Again, I don't know. I can't see the future. I don't know if Tim McVeigh is going to be our next pastor. That's what our pastor said he sees. But if we fight it, we probably will get whoever comes in here is going to ruin this church.
Yes. Yes.
We have to be of one mind, of a like mind, praying for each other, praying for this church and the people of this church. Lord, I thank you for everything you've done for us. I thank you for your mercies and strengths, and I ask that you would help us as we go home this day. Help us to draw closer to you through everything that happens. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I have a closing song. Do you have one, Grace?
Wait. Are you going to say anything, Pastor? You want to say anything?
Well, that's it.
Okay. I'm going to follow you.
All right.
Okay? This message was too important to just have a closing song and prayer and diddly on our way.